We left off, we were talking about some of the halachas, the minhagim, that govern Erev Yom Kippur. So there is a minhag that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it goes back at least to the days of the Gaonim, we don't know whether it goes back before that, and that is the minhag of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch quotes it, it's almost a universal minhag. The men go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. What is unclear is why they're going to the mikvah. What is the purpose of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Rosh in Maseches Yuma quotes from Rav Sadia Gaon, who says that when one goes to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, one should recite a bracha, So the Rosh is taken aback, he's perplexed with this psak of Rav Sadia Gaon. He says, what are you making a bracha for? He says, it's not a din in the Gemara, it's not a halacha, it's not a derais, it's not a derabban, it's a minag, it's a beautiful, wonderful minag. But, you know, become totally a madin, but in terms of being a real requirement, he doesn't think it's the case, and therefore he doesn't understand why in the world one should recite a bracha. Almost as an afterthought, the Rosh writes, that will maybe, maybe, if Sadia Gaon meant was as follows. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Chayim Adam Tarasva Beregel, that a person is supposed to purify themselves before Yom Tov. The Gemara derives from a pasuk, he's supposed to go to the mikvah before Yom Tov. So the Rosh says, maybe that's where Sadia Gaon was driving at. Maybe he didn't mean Davka every Yom Kippur. He meant every Yom Tov, every Rosh Hashanah, every Sukkot, every Pesach. For every Yom Tov, there's a chi of Gomor to become Tahar. So maybe that's where Sadia Gaon was driving at. So the Rosh says, if that's what he meant, then it's not right. Because that din doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, because we don't have Eifa Par Aduma. If a person today is going to go to the mikvah, they don't really become Tahar anyway. They're still Tamei Tumas Meis. Mikvah works for a lot of Tumas, for Sheretz, the Vela, etc. But it doesn't work for Tumas Meis. So since any person who ever went to a cemetery, went for funerals, automatically become Tamei Tumas Meis. In the absence of Par Aduma, we can't rectify that Tumah anyway. So the Rosh says, you're not going to be Yetzir Mitzvah anyway, so what are you wasting your time going to the mikvah for? So says the Rosh, in theory, Rav Sadia Gaon could have held that was the reason, but he doesn't think that's right. The Rambam definitely would not accept that reason either, for a different reason. The Rambam writes that chiyuv of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Tov, the Gemara speaks about, only applies with Zman HaMikdash, because the purpose of that mitzvah is to become Torah, to bring the Karbonos, to Elul Regel. So according to the Rambam, that whole mitzvah b'chol doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. It wouldn't apply in Yom Kippur, even Zman HaMikdash. You weren't going to Elul Regel in Yom Kippur. So for two reasons, Zman HaZeh, we're not so bad, but most people don't run to go to the mikvah every Yom Tov. Either because we hold, like the Rosh, that we're not going to accomplish much by doing it anyway, because we're still talking to Mizmeis, or like the Rambam, that the whole mitzvah doesn't apply to Bizman Shem Beis Mikdash HaKayim. So for us, who don't run to go Toivel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, but we still go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, so it's really not a din, L'chor, the Rosh is right. It's not a din, and therefore there would be no grounds to recite a bracha. So what was Pshat Rav Sadia Gaon talking about? Why did Rav Sadia Gaon say to make a bracha, and why don't we accept this? So later Acharonim suggested a whole different beer of Rav Sadia Gaon. Not do it Chayav Adam Taras of a regal, a different Port Lagamri. This is a throwback to the Mishnayos and the Gemara, the third parak of Maseches Brachos, where the Mishnah tells us that Ezra Soifer made a takana, called a takana, it's Ezra, that a Balkari, a man who became a Tomei through Rias Keri, is not supposed to daven, not supposed to make bracha, not supposed to learn, etc. And that takana was in effect for hundreds of years, until in the later days of the Torah, the days of Rabbi Ben Beseira, they abolished that takana. The Gemara explains why a whole sugya of the rabbis, why, what went wrong, why people weren't able to follow that takana. Lamaisa, they were mevalta that takana. What gave Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira the koach to be mevalta that takana? We don't follow that takana today. Men become tamei tumas keri, nobody wants, but chassidim, they run the chachil, they want to fulfill that takana. But then, in the world of the pure halacha, so there is no requirement to go run to the mikvah. It's a nice thing to do, but it's not required. So what do you mean we were mevatel at takana? Don't we have a rule that ain beis in yochel levatel dvir beis in chaveira el gal v'chachul minyan? The Gemara says that a later beis din cannot abolish a previous takana of a beis din unless the later beis din is greater in chachma and there are more tamidim and more people around who accepted the takana. But we're not as great as Ezra was. Rabbi Meir was a great talmid, but he wasn't as great as Ezra Soifer. And therefore, what do you think about mean that he abolished the takana? So Taisus in Brachas, in the third prayer, plugs in the answer. Taisus says that whenever you have a takana that never really was accepted in the first place, it was L'Poshta Bro Yisrael. When Ezra made the takana, so most of the people weren't even living up to the goal. All those hundreds of years from Ezra to Rabbi Meir, The Yechidim were being machbid. The Yeshiva Bachar were from extra, you know, extra special people were being machbid. But the Hamon Aham wasn't so careful about this takana. So it was called the law Pashta Barov Yisrael. Whenever you have a Dindar Rabbana that was made, that Lemaisa, the Olam just never really accepted. It never really caught on. So then a later Bezin has the right to be mevatel a takana, even if it's not Gon B'chochem Minyan, and sure, the whole takana goes up in smoke. So that's exactly what happens as Taisus historically, that the whole takana is Ezra is Batla Mevutel today. But the reason why it's Batla Mevutel is because the people weren't able to, this didn't have the kirchas to follow. So some Achranim write the following Chiddush. What if you have a takana that was made, and the Tzibur basically votes not to accept it? They're just not able to. Over hundreds of years, we realize it's just not happening. But the Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, didn't reject it entirely. They rejected it partially. They rejected it mostly. But every once in a while, they do want to live up to the higher standards. They do want to keep the takana. So then, whatever the Tzibur accepts, the Pesha hit, the Pesha also, Pesha also, whatever the Tzibur decides. So if the Klal Yisrael have a cobble upon themselves to revoke the takana 90% of the time, so that 90% of the time, the takana is not binding. The Klal Yisrael decides they want to ratify it, they want to accept the takana partially, the takana is binding during this partial amount of time. So that's probably what played out, say the Achronim, when it came to Yom Kippur. All year long, most people are just not up to this. It's a very hard takana to keep. Yeah. Every morning, the guy's got to go run to the mikvah for that. It's not so simple to do. So it became a big hassle. Most people weren't able to live up to it. But once a year, everyone's able to. Once a year, people make the extra mamas, the extra effort to try to live up to a high level of kedusha v'tahara. That one day a year is on Yom Kippur. So there was a minhag hatzibur was that all year long, 353 days a year, we don't follow takana zezra. One day a year, we do. So that one day a year that we keep it, it's not a binding, it's not a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah in the rabbanon. So when a person goes to the mikvah every Yom Kippur, he's not just going to the mikvah just a cute thing, a nice thing, a minig, a nice minig. It's a real din, it's a real chiyuv gomim in the rabbanon, and therefore one, it's making a bracha. So that's what the Achronim explained, that's the pshat, that's the beer in the shita of Rav Sadigo. This is similar to something we spoke about earlier in the week, about Pasachim. Remember we said that the days they made it, takana not the bread baked by goyim. And then the later generations, they basically almost just about abolished the takana. They basically minimized the takana. But 10 days a year, Klal Yisrael wanted to keep the takana b'chol tokef in its fullest glory. So according to Samach Aronim, during the Sesame Tshuva, observing Pasachim is not just a minhag. It's not just a minhag chasidus. It's a din. Because since the Jewish people only abolished the takana of Pasachim 99% of the year, but 1% of the year during the Sesame Tshuva, they ratified, they accepted it, so then it becomes binding the halacha during those days. That's already a chiddush. So getting back to the story in terms of the tefillah and Yom Kippur. So Rav Sadigon had this cryptic statement that you make a bracha. The Rosh said the whole thing wasn't true, and we're not sure why Rav Sadigon even said it. So the Rosh suggested the idea and then rejected it right away. And the later Achronim suggested a different idea, that the takana was based on the minhag was based, not just the minhag, it's a real takana. So we probably don't really accept this halacha. Harai, we don't make a bracha. The last minhag is when we go to the mikvah for Erev Yom Kippur, we don't make a bracha. There's only one person I know who's made a bracha on the tefillah on Erev Yom Kippur in the last 1300 years or so, since the days of Sadigon, one of my kids. So why did one of my kids make a bracha? Because when you come to the mikvah, in Tinek, so there's a big sign that says, before immersing in the mikvah, recite the bracha. So one of my kids thought that sign was for the men also. That one sign is for the women, that sign is not for the men. So I remember one time when Erev Yom Kippur, years ago, one of my boys was little, so I hear him making a bracha, Shekh Kiddushan, and I'm like, what? Said this is a Gilgul for Rav Sadigon. That bracha hasn't been said in quite some time. In my family, we have this strange phenomenon that we bring brachas back at Chiz HaMeis, the brachas. The days they go on, I had my brother-in-law, one of my brother-in-laws, years ago already, made a pigeon at Ben. The son who was Nifta is now in his 20s. So years ago, I made a pigeon at Ben. And he had asked me to borrow, I had a safe from that, called Pidja Ben Kilchasoy. So he asked to borrow it to read all the singing of Pidja Ben before it. So in the back of safe Pidja Ben Kilchasoy, it has how to do a Pidja Ben, 10 easy steps. How to, Cohen says this, Yisrael says this, Then, instead of taking a sitter, so he took the sefer, Pinya Ben Kichaso, and he was standing over here, the Kohen's over here, and he's giving the give it, you know, there's a little bit of a speech beforehand in Aramaic, the Kohen says this, the Pa says this. So he almost starts to say the text of speaking to the Kohen, so it sounded very, very madna. I didn't recognize the exact Nusach, and I didn't even say, I didn't understand what's going on. And then he kept on going, and then he gets to the point where, of the brachas, and then all of a sudden, what was going on? In the back of that sefer, so it has Pidgin Aben Lefi Minhagenu, and then the next chapter is Pidgin Aben Lefi Minhagenu. The Minhagenu back in Bovel, back in Surah Budisa, they had a few lines here and there that they said that got lost in the shuffle in the last 1300 years. So one of the things that was said in the days of the Goyim, there was a special bracha that the Goyim instituted by a pigeon abet, that the Rosh, Tanakh tells it the Rosh, the Rosh in Bechairis quotes this and says you shouldn't make this bracha. He says, it's not in the Gemara, it doesn't make any sense, we can't make up our own brachas. So I'm meaning is we don't make this bracha. In the days of the Goyim, they made this bracha. So my brother was about to make this bracha. So then we caught him and said, no, we haven't made this bracha in 1300 years. So it's a mishigas in my family. We're very connected to the Goyim. We still think we're in Pukudisa in our family. So we do things with 3 minutes of Goyim. Except for blowing shofar, that we do the regular minute. Okay, back to the story. So, nicely, we don't make a bracha on the tefillah. So, if we don't make a bracha on the tefillah, what do we think the tefillah is all about? So, the answer is we think the tefillah is just a nice thing. It's a minik tayv, you get tshuva, you know, tara, things of that nature. The Rosh Hashulchan writes that maybe the minik of going to the mikvah and Erevim Kippur is not a mikvah, it's a mitzvah deraisa. It says, lefnei Hashem titaru. We usually don't assume that one. We usually assume the Fnei Hashem Titaru means one of two things. Either it's a haftacha from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that you will be purified of your aveiros. Well, the Fnei Hashem Titaru means as a mitzvah vidoy on Yom Kippur. You're mechuyav, it's a machlag zirishan, you're mechuyav, it's the mitzvah of the Fnei Hashem Titaru to be mizvad on Yom Kippur. But before the Rosh Hashulchan, I don't think anybody said the Fnei Hashem Titaru means that you have to go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur starts. So, l'maisa, we assume going to the Mikvah and Yom Kippur is not an absolute din. It's more of a Torah Semitic. Maybe it's a Midas Chassidus of the Tikkun HaSeves, or maybe based on Tara and Shul, or whatever it is. Sometimes you have a situation where a person can't go to the Mikvah and Yom Kippur. So we had this past year in Corona. So many of the mikvahs for the men were closed. Of a koshi, we were keeping the women's mikvahs open with a great scrutiny and great attention to cleanliness, etc., and all the rules. Of distancing. The men's mikvahs, go bring everyone's been in a men's mikvah and everyone keeps knows. It's not exactly easy to social distance. Maybe you have 400 guys, at the same time.
Bumper traffic.
What?
Bumper traffic.
Yeah, it's pretty messy. So Lav Dafka, that was a good idea during the heart of Corona, back in the beginning of the second wave around Yom Kippur time. So many of the communities, including our own community, did not have access. We did not let the men have any access to the mikvah. So she says, what do you do? Go to the mikvah. So the post can write that there's another option. But the Gemara Bracha says that you have what's called Tisha Kabin. You could pour a lot of water on your head. Again, it's not a din of Torah because you don't need the tefillah anyway. But for the din of Tekan HaSezra, even Bisman Tekan says when it was a real din, you could pour a lot of buckets of water on your head. The amount of Tisha Kabin, that's good enough. How long is that in a shower? So I don't know, different opinions in the post game. A couple of minutes shy, stand on a shower for a few minutes. So that counts as a Tisha Kabin. So if you can't get the mikvah, you do it. So that's what we did. Erev Rosh Hashanah we did that, and then we did it again in Erev Yom Kippur.
So today, everyone fulfills the
Tekan
of Ezra,
basically,
taking a shower?
You mean, in theory, if a guy really wants to fulfill the Tekan of Ezra, if you stand under the shower for 5-7 minutes, whatever it is, so I can't promise you how much hot water you can get in Beit Meir after 5 minutes, but in theory, the person who really wants to perform the Tekan of Ezra, in theory, can stand under the shower all the time. But I don't think that most people are not good at that either. The Hasidim go to the mikvah, and the Misnagdim don't do anything, so I think that's pretty much what happens. Okay, there are other things, other practices that we have in Erev Yom Kippur. Again, some of them are dinim, some of them are hagim. There is an age-old practice, also has its roots in the Goyim, at least according to Rashi, it has a little bit of its roots in the Gemara itself. That's the practice of doing kaparas on Erev Yom Kippur. So the original kaparas, of course, was with chickens. So some people today don't like to walk around chickens, so some people do money. The chicken kaparas have made a definite comeback in Judaism. When I was a little kid, it was unheard of, unless maybe by some Hasidim, but in the average Amonam, I grew up in Riverdale, they didn't have chickens walking the streets like they have now. Now everybody, every regular Jewish community has the ability to do kaparas with chickens. So this minig of doing kaparas was actually a big machlekes back in the days of Gaonim, when it's a good idea or a bad idea. So there were many Gaonim who held the opinion that this is a terrible thing, you shouldn't be doing kaparas. It's a goyish minig, a goyish custom, it's paganism. It's not rooted in anything in Teredic, and therefore we should abolish this minig. So Shacharach quotes that breath. Shacharach says you shouldn't do kaparas. It's the wrong thing to do. And there are more rights? No, there are more rights. It's been our custom for hundreds of thousands of years. We've been doing kaparas, and the Gaonim and the Rishonim who sanctioned it, that we should follow it, and therefore we should do kaparas. So most people in Klai Yisrael today do the practice of kaparas. But again, it's only been sort of terms of minig. In our communities, it's not always so easy to do an Erev Yom Kippur. The original minig was doing an Erev Yom Kippur, so it's just not practical for us to do an Erev Yom Kippur to get the chicken shechted enough time to give to the aniyim. It just doesn't happen. So most people end up, new minig in America is you do kaparas on Sunday versus Mitzvah. Whatever day of Mitzvah, Sunday falls out. So that's just the easiest logistical day. So whenever you do kaparas, anytime during Mitzvah, Mitzvah, you know. There is another practice that we have on Erev Yom Kippur, and that's the practice of saying Kol Nidre. So this is also appears in the Goyim Taka. We don't have this explicitly in the Gemara, according to some it's alluded to in the Gemara, but we have this practice of saying this very, very strange paragraph in Aramaic, that all the Nadarma, Bathla, Mavutal, and that's how Yom Kippur begins, with the saying of Kol Nidre. So where this come? What? Who? What does it have to do with Yom Kippur? And where? What does it mean altogether? So this was a major, major machlekes, the Gaonim and the Rishonim, as to what exactly are we trying to, or perhaps not succeeding in accomplishing, with Kol Nidrin. So the Gaonim had a tradition that before Yom Kippur, one should do Hataras Nedarim. Because we know that every once in a while a person takes a neder, they don't always remember all the nedarim that they took. So nedarim is a very serious area of halacha. You don't want to violate nedarim, come to the Yom Adin. You don't want to have that burden of the chait of potentially violating a word on our sitting on our conscience. So we have a eitzah, a way out, you do a taras nedarim. So the din is, let's say a person took a neder not to eat meat, and then he feels really bad about it. So he can come to the Beis Din, comes to three people, and he asks, they have to ask him, why did you take the neder, and is it a good idea, a bad idea, you know, is he mischar, and that's the whole sechas nedarim that deals with the principle of a taras nedarim. A taras nedarim is a din min ha-Torah, that the Beis Din has the right to uproot a neder. What's the source for it? Which is halacha moshe b'Sinai. The Gemara has a few ramazim, maybe here and there in Tanakh, but it's basically halacha moshe b'Sinai, that there is a principle called that taras nedarim. What appears in the Chumash in Parshas Matos is called Hafaras Nedarim. There's nothing to do with Taras Nedarim. Hafaras Nedarim means that if a married woman or a young girl, 12-year-old girl, took certain Nedarim, then the husband or the father sometimes has a right to cancel certain Nedarim. That's a different story of the Gemara. Hataras Nedarim means, for me, a regular person, not a married woman, not a little girl, they took a neder, now they feel bad about that neder, they go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din can evaluate whether it's a type of neder they have a right to be, they have the courage to be matir. So the Gaonim write that we come to Erev Yom Kippur, nobody remembers what Nedarim they did take and didn't take, so therefore on Mas, we make an Mas Hataras Nedarim. So the Chazan gets up, and he has the rabbi standing at the side, and then the president of the Shul, whoever else is on it, told us if there are three people that are based it, and showing Hini Mucham Zub, and then Mas Nedarim for the entire Tzibur, and showing Gemarim. That's what the Gaonim write. So Rabbi Natam was very, very concerned with that. He said, he doesn't think that works. He says that a Taras Nedarim, first of all, Tzach, the first, a nether. You can't just come to a Beis Din and say, I want to do a Taras Nedarim. The Beis Din says, what was a nether? He says, I don't want to tell you. You have to refer to say, you have to tell what the nether was. And then Rabbi Natam says that Kol Nidre was being said if the Yom Kippur already started, you know, it was supposed to be Mata Nedarim and Shabbos. And you have to, so Rabbi Natam had a lot of kashes against this practice to say that it's a Taras Nedarim. So Rabbi Natam says he thinks the whole thing was wrong. He thinks that wasn't really what the source of the meaning was. It wasn't the Taras Nedarim. It was based on a different Gemara Nedarim that says that if a person wants to cancel the Nedarim, Mikan Lahaba, a person wants to make sure that they don't have any Nedarim on their slate, so they should make a modal, it's called. You make a declaration that all Nedarim I'm going to take should be batal. So the Gemara says in Nedarim, the third parak, that you can do that on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, it's a good time. You can do it any time you want, but that was the meaning of the days of Chazal. You did it on Rosh Hashanah. So it's the start of the year on the right foot. Any Nedarim I'm going to take, it should be batal mevutal. So there's a whole sugya in the Gemara. Does it work? Does it not work? When does it work? Etc. So the Rinatam writes that the minute was switched to Yom Kippur because more people came to Shul Yom Kippur. Not everyone came to Shul. Everyone showed up. Who doesn't come to Shul Yom Kippur? So they made this en masse, the serious modal. So Rabbi Natam said that he thinks that the original practice of doing this was not really Hataras Nedarim is wrong. Doesn't really work. The serious modal is the correct thing. Therefore, Rabbi Natam says you have to change the nusach because it says in the old text of Hataras Nedarim of Kol Nidre, the Yom Kippurim could be Yom Kippurim she'avra Yom Kippurim zeh. All the Nedarim that I took from last Yom Kippur till now, I want to be Matir. So the Tam says you have to change it. You have to make it Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Haba, because it's really for the future, not the past. So that's what that meaning is. Most Mazorim have that phrase, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Haba. There are some who have in parentheses, in brackets, and say you could say the other one also. So there's some Chazanim who say, Yom Kippurim She'ovar, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Haba. The problem is it doesn't fit into the niggin. There's not enough room for it. So they scramble a little bit, you know, they move it around a little bit. So most shuls just say Yom Kippurim, say Yom Kippurim, Habalik, or Benetam. But there are those who want to be into the old, whatever it is, it's questionable really, whether it really works. It's not so simple it works, neither as a Taras Nedarim nor as a Motor. So we don't, if a person really, really, truly has an ed, then they should do a real Taras Nedarim. But we rely on it, Mishas Achat. So we have another minute. We do it every Rosh Hashanah. We do the same thing every Rosh Hashanah also for all the people who miscount the Kol Nidre. So we make a Hataras Nedarim, we make a Modah, so we're covered on many, many grounds. But this minute, Yisrael, has been around for many, 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 many years. Way back the days of the Gaonim. Some people, you know, in your history books, they'll tell you, oh, this was started in the Spanish Inquisition. It's nonsense. It was a Rabbeinu Tam lived 300 years before the Spanish Inquisition. The Gaonim spoke about this 500 years before. It's not even 1492. It's, this way predated the days of whether it became more popular after the Jews, you know, felt guilty about certain vows they would take into their church. You can argue the history books, yeah, no, maybe so. But the Minig of Saint Kol Nidre predated well before the years 1490. Rabbeinu Tam lived in 1100s, and he discussed the radical. Okay, we'll continue this next week.